Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Podcast ads are the worst, right? Everyone hates them. You can get Saints Happy Hour ad-free by becoming a patron. That's right. Patrons get access to every show ad-free. No ads ever. You also get Breaking Saints news podcast, Saints player grades, early access to shows, and behind the scenes access. Plus, you get access to our Discord channel where you can talk Saints 24/7 in private with other Saints Happy Hour listeners. And you get our world famous booze bundle with 4 swag items. Amazing. So sign up and never have to suffer through another ad again. Go to saintshappyhour.com. That's saintshappyhour.com and sign up today.
G'day, it's Stevie from 12 Ninja here. And look, if you like American football, you should check out Saints Happy Hour podcast. I personally know fuck all about American football, other than it's a bunch of massive blokes wearing spandex, shoulder pads and helmets running around with a throwing a football. In Australia, you don't throw footballs. You punch it or you kick it. And there's no protection. They're all naked and there's sharks and crocodiles fired out of cannons onto the field, and we all stand around and drink blood watching it. But American football's your thing, you know what to do. Saints Happy Hour podcast. Stick it in your ear hole.
All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour podcast. Woo! We got a lot of Saints news to get to, but first, Dave, Andrew, have your fun. Make fun of me, the fact that I bought my dream headset, and it sounded worse than the $40 headset I'm currently using. Go ahead. Have your fun. You were doing
it on the... We don't need that. We don't need that to make fun of you, Ralph.
Hey, so we have a great show for you today. We're going to talk about Michael Thomas and his putting off his surgery might ruin the Saints 2021 season. We're going to talk about the Saints maybe having the worst receiving corps in the NFL. Now, that's according to the media comms. We're going to go over the free agent list of wide receivers. And we're going to talk about other Saints news, Quan Alexander, Quan Short. But first, Thomas, fire up the breaking news siren. Oh, goodness, Andrew. The Saints did this bullshit again, where they're breaking news before 8 a.m. on a Sunday. They did it with Jameis, and they did it again today. They signed a corner, thank God in heaven, Brian Poole, former Falcon, former Jet. They're going to have to wash the stink of that off of him, but is he any good?
He's very good at what he does. He's so... Pro Football Focus disclaimer, right? But Pro Football Focus has actually listed him as a top 12 corner in the league each of the last 3 years. So he grades really favorably on those metrics.
What?
I actually hit up the Falcoholic. They had great things to say about Brian Poole from his time in Atlanta. They love him. Read multiple articles in Jets land, and the Jets fans and blogs have kind of labeled him their best player. Now, that's, you know, take it with a grain of salt because we're talking about the Jets. But, you know, they kind of said, yeah, Brian Poole is the best player that we had on defense the last 2 years, for sure. So he's good, but I just want to point out, like, he's a slot nickel guy, and I'm sure we'll talk more about this in a second, but so is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. So the Saints got a good player in the building, and hey, look, we talk about this all the time, Ralph, in camp. Like, you want good players in the building. So, like, I'm never going to complain about a good player being added to the roster. And yet, they need an outside corner. They don't need a nickel. They don't need a slot guy. So,
here's the thing. The only thing I remember about Poole, Dave, is that
Breeze put him in the fucking spin cycle in 2018. Like, that's the only thing that I remember about this guy. But, like Andrew said, he can do both. Does this mean no Richard Sherman?
Hold on. I didn't say he can do both. I don't know. He's played slot his whole career. So
yeah.
Well, no, but Seedy can do both. You think is what I'm saying.
Oh, I don't know. No, I don't know. I mean, I think for this to work, I think one of Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and Brian Poole have to be the outside corner.
Now,
look, maybe it's Patrick Robinson, and maybe this is just depth. I don't know. But to me, it's a little puzzling in the sense that you're just getting a guy that is doubling Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. It's almost like they're hoping to figure out in camp that one of them will work out on the outside.
Here's an alternate theory.
Okay. Brian Poole. Has he been available all offseason?
Yes.
Yes. So he played 9 games last year, and then his season ended on IR with like a shoulder and I think a knee. Like he had a couple injuries. It wasn't like a torn ACL, but I think obviously he's got to pass a physical, and that was part of the reason why. I mean, he's 28 years old. He's a corner. He's a slot guy, so he's not like he's kind of short. He's like 5'9", and he's coming off an injury, so I think he probably just didn't get the offers he was hoping.
Dave, we're at the open.
I mean, but he's been available all off season. You guys have had all very nice things to say about him from a football perspective. The critics, the experts, the stat guys, whatever, they have nice things to say about him. I haven't heard anything about him until now. We've been pining after Richard Sherman, Brian Poole.
We've been Brian Poole's name has never come up one time this entire offseason. Let's be real.
That's where I'm getting at. So I'm assuming you're going to tell me that the reason we haven't been thirsty for this guy and haven't been discussing this guy, who now we're saying is practically God's gift to cornerbacks.
It's desperate times, Dave.
I'm assuming that we weren't talking about this guy earlier because, like you said, he doesn't really fit a need that we had on defense, per se. And also, he was injured and there were a lot of questions.
Here's the thing, though. Andrew, when you're dealing in July, we are in open box season at Best Buy. And people that aren't familiar with it, you go into Best Buy, they got the table, and they got all the stuff that people return. It's open box. You get it at a discount. You can get iPads, cameras. You can get anything. But it's, no returns, no give backs, and you might get something awesome. You might get something broken. But here's my theory.
This is the best you're gonna get this time of year. Now, like, here's the thing. I just want to say real quick. Like, when you sign a guy like this, like, you're always thinking best case scenario. Like, you're hoping it works out. And so
it's a 1 year deal. I like that.
It's a 1 year deal, and I'm never gonna complain about adding a dude. And just seeing how it works out in camp. Yeah. But if you're gonna operate under the prism that you hope it works out, I would prefer to hope it works out with Richard Sherman. Because if it does work out with Richard Sherman, I see a lot more clearly how he can help this team as an outside corner. With Brian Poole, I don't see it as clearly.
Maybe
now we need to see how Richard Sherman's going to work things out. Maybe with his parole officer before we.
Maybe the Saints' thinking is this, Dave, that they're like, Brian Poole is the backup plan to a Debo if he's terrible. Like, maybe they're like, look, we'll sign Poole, and if a Debo is terrible and he's not ready to play this year, then we move CeeDee to outside and we play Brian Poole in the slot and we see how it goes. But if a Debo is really good and we're fine at outside, we'll just leave CeeDee Deuce where he is and we'll cut Brian Poole. So maybe it's not like, maybe that's the theory of the Brian Poole signing.
I don't pretend to know. I know what they're thinking, but that's not a great situation. I don't think CeeDee is necessarily best fit for outside man-to-man stuff necessarily, if he's a slot guy. So that's not ideal.
Joshua Ford says, I'm scared the starting cornerbacks week one are P.J. Williams and Patrick Robinson because Lattimore gets suspended. Joshua, don't be afraid. The rumor is Aaron Rodgers is going to retire next week and give the Packers the double bird and go host Jeopardy. So don't be
the worst joke I've ever heard. I mean, Ralph, also to your point, to answer your question, I mean, if you're trying to get somebody to cover your butt in the case that a Debo doesn't work as a, you know, typical, you know, man-to-man cornerback, outside cornerback or whatever, then why wouldn't you go and get another cornerback like that? Why would you go and get the market? Because there's no one to get. I guess. I don't know.
Like that. Like, I'm not in an ideal world. Yes, Dave, you would go and get a guy, but maybe like the Saints are like Richard Sherman. He's dealing with a lot of shit right now. We got to do something. This'll be plan B. Like, I get what you're saying, but like,
Dave, are you impressed that Ralph has gotten a mini fat head of Brian Poole so quickly?
That's right.
Yes.
After the signing.
Yes. How do they make those?
I one day Amazon shipped
prototype.
I went to the Amazon locker down the street, got it like that. Done.
You know, from the future.
The guys that we've gotten from the Jets, I'm thinking like Jonathan Goodwin, Jonathan Vilma, DeMario Davis.
We've gotten some good guys
from the Jets, even though they suck.
Yeah. You just got to wash the Jets stink. You got to power wash the Jets stink off of them, and you're good to go. And here's
the Saints. The Saints are to the
Jets.
Who
am I forgetting?
Like the Patriots are to the Saints.
Who am I forgetting? Have we gotten some other good Jets guys?
I'm trying to think. No, and somebody in the chat might throw it out there, but I don't remember. Here's the thing.
That's Brian Poole. Bree's putting the spin move on Brian.
Putting the
Poole
spin
there,
move on him. By the way, that's the reason why you should join us on the live stream. On YouTube, so you can see Thomas doing great work, pulling out videos and such.
You got to wrap up, Brian. You're not going to last long with the Saints if you don't wrap up. Come on.
Also, that might have been the last athletic play Drew ever made in his career.
You are not fucking lying, Dave. That is absolutely 100% correct. Dave, the Saints signing Brian Poole was the lead of this show. But it wouldn't have been the lead of the show if it hadn't happened. And the main lead of the show would have been Michael Thomas waited until June to get his wrecked ankle repaired. And he's going to be out for 4 freaking months. And the thing, Dave, that sort of threw me for a loop is he went for the appointment after the season, and the doc was like, hey, do a little rehab, see how it goes, come back and see us in 2 months, and then we'll decide, hey, maybe you need to get surgery so you can be ready for the season. The second follow-up appointment, Michael Thomas, not only did he blow it off with that doctor, he didn't like say, like, I'm going to get a second opinion, I don't trust the Saints doctors, which, Dave, you have said for years, their doctors are kind of questionable, let's say, right?
What can you do? Medicine's not a science.
But Michael Thomas, he didn't even do that. He's just like, nah, I'm not going to go to the appointment at all. So now he's got to have the ankle surgery. He's probably not going to be back till October. So the thing that I want to start with is, why the hell would Michael Thomas not go to the follow-up appointment with a doctor, his doctor, the Saints doctor, whoever?
I can't answer these questions. I'm assuming he was dealing with the Saints doctor this whole time. Is that correct?
I mean,
and if he was, like, you know, are we focused on the wrong thing here? We're upset with Michael Thomas, but should we be upset with the doctors?
I mean, Andrew, you got sources. Like, what is, what is this? Like, is it just Michael Thomas being like a lot of people where we're like, we know that we, like my wife, she hates going to the dentist because she knows that the dentist is going to, you know, she knows the dentist is going to tell her horrible, horrible things and she's going to have a ton of work done on her teeth. So she just puts it off, puts it off, puts it off. Is it that case with Michael Thomas where he puts off bad news, or is he super arrogant and he just thinks he was going to make it better by working out? Is it that he doesn't trust the Saints? Like, what is this going on? Because that, to me, it's just strange and it boggles my mind. And I hope somebody in the media asks Sean Payton about it next or this week coming up when training camp starts.
I don't think it's that he doesn't trust the Saints. I think it's that he doesn't trust anybody. Michael Thomas is, look, ever since he signed this contract, I just feel like things have gotten worse and worse. You know, he got hurt at first, and then there was a dust-up with a teammate, problems in the locker room, dust-up with the coaching staff, problems with the organization. I mean, the things that I've heard, I don't know that I've heard anything new or special or substantial beyond, like, what's out there, but, like, I'm just getting a sense that there's a lot of frustration with him, you know, and this isn't just like a, yeah, we're in the loop. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all good. Like, I'm not getting that at all. Like, I'm hearing chirping of just like, this dude's kind of a problem, you know? And I think we all know that. I think we can read the tea leaves here. We all know Michael Thomas is a bit of a problem.
Well, we had this conversation last year.
Well, here's my biggest concern, Dave, is
Should be concerned.
Here's my biggest concern of all of it, Dave, is we have seen that Michael Thomas, he does not deal well with being injured. Like, clearly, he did not deal well last year with being injured. Now, we're going to go on a year and a half of him being injured, and I just worried that, like, his crazy... If we thought it was bad last year, like that ratchet we said in the Breaking News podcast, which you should become a patron, get the Breaking News podcast, we said it's only going to go in one direction. And I'm really concerned, like, he's going to, like, there's a potential for him to go, like, full TO crazy. I don't know how it would manifest himself, but to me, that is a big concern. Am I being panic doom, Ralph, or is that something that you're thinking of? Maybe it'll go completely off the rails for him in 2021.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, you mentioned T.O. I was thinking, and maybe this is – maybe yours is a little more accurate. I'm just thinking closer to home, but I'm thinking, like, you know, Junior Gallette.
Ooh.
You know, like
– I mean, the belt man.
Yeah, but Junior Gallette's problems were weak.
I don't see – well, actually, I was about to say I don't see any Michael Thomas, you know – getting involved in any violent things, but then again, he did.
What was the thing? Larry Holder had chambered, and he's like, "Yeah, I saved that for a rainy day." And they cut Junior, and then they did the thing. Is like, "Oh yeah, Junior was fighting people in the locker room." What was that, Andrew? I forget. I forget what it was. Maybe it was Kat Terrell. She did like a giant feature, and we're like, "Hey, why didn't you break this before?" She's like, "I was saving that. I was saving those bullets for a rainy day." He was fighting people in the locker room too, right?
Yeah. Who, Gallette?
Gallette, yeah.
Yeah. No, Gallette and Akeem Hicks, both of them. That's why they got shipped out.
You're playing for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you hope it works out. Obviously, I mean, what a tremendous talent, what a terrific player, right, on the field. But it sucks that he got hurt, and obviously everything that's kind of downward spiraled from there has been pretty significant. I think he's having trouble just keeping his head on straight. I think he wants to play football. I think that's all he's ever known. I think it's all he ever does. It's kind of a singular focus, and obviously I think this injury has had maybe more of an effect mentally on him than it has physically even.
Well, I want to congratulate Andrew. He tweeted at Mina Kimes after she said on NFL Live that she thought the Saints without Michael Thomas had the worst receiving corps in the NFL. I want to congratulate Andrew. He tweeted out that, tagged Mina Kimes on Twitter, and did a Saints hashtag, and the tweet blew up for us. So I want to congratulate Andrew. Andrew is like, Andrew is as bad at forgetting to put a hashtag on a tweet as I am at pronouncing names. So I want to congratulate Andrew on doing that. But, Dave, is Mina Kynes, is she right? Thomas is on point tonight. Dave, is Mina Kynes correct that the Saints now have the worst receiving core in the NFL? That's harsh. But I want to scream at her and say it's not true, but part of me is like, it might be.
Well, unfortunately, Mina Kynes, I don't think she's really getting a full look at the roster behind Michael Thomas because she's obviously overlooking little Jordan Humphrey.
Oh, my God, here we go.
It's not possible for them to be the worst when you've got little Jordan Humphrey.
Is this his time to shine?
Take Dede Westbrook off this list. He's a Viking.
Take the Sharpie.
Yeah, this is
Thomas.
Little Jordan's music. I agree with Andrew and his tweet there. It's brutal. It's really brutal behind Michael Thomas. And to be honest with you, you know, let's say Michael Thomas comes back after his injury. You know, we're talking about an ankle injury. This fucking thing's linger. How good is Michael Thomas really going to be even when he comes back? It is what it is, but
yeah.
I think we could be surprised by somebody, either Marquez Callaway or, I'm not even joking, you know, a little Jordan Humphrey, or obviously Traquan has probably got the best, the best chance at taking the next step. But there are a bunch of unknown guys for the most part, but, you never know.
I have a couple things to say.
Well,
and
first,
I'm
Andrew,
but you don't know, and you never
Juwan Johnson,
will.
Here, I played the Jim Mora, you think you know, and you never will, because you made a point. I don't remember if you made it to me on the podcast or one of our daily calls, but Michael Thomas, that ankle injury against Tampa in garbage time, like, it didn't look like an injury that would cause him to miss a season and a half. Like, it didn't, at the time, it didn't look that bad.
Well,
and that's
why
I played the Jim Mora sound.
He aggravated it. So, you know, I think clearly he made it worse by probably trying to come back too soon. But yeah, at the time, I remember he walked away. Yeah, he wasn't carted off or anything.
Yeah.
And he stood on the sidelines. He didn't go straight to the locker room. He just kind of stood there. So, yeah. And, you know, you saw it kind of start to roll, and then you saw him kind of get his foot out before it really just, like, kind of just – I don't know. Anyway, I'm surprised that we're at this point, for sure. But, anyway, going back to Mina Kynes' comment, you know, at first I was like, come on, they got some guys that can contribute and they can be pretty good. But then – and she's right. When you start to look at it under the prism of elevating everyone, all of a sudden Traquan Smith is your number one receiver, and the top corner is covering Traquan Smith, and your number two is Callaway, let's say, or Deontay Harris. You know, it's like they're going to be going up against
some
pretty
good
corners.
Joke I've ever heard.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel good. And so I've seen some people on there out there, Saints fans, that have tweeted this stuff, and I've got to say I'm buying into this a little bit, and they're saying that, you know, hey, things are so bad with our receiver core right now that we should just go ahead and start Taysom Hill. And the thinking is, at least we can be gadgety, gimmicky with the offense. Maybe we can keep it tight, get the ball to Kamara a little bit more, get the ball to Troutman a little bit more, scheme some guys open, and, like, we can't even fully utilize Jameis right now because we don't have Michael Thomas. We don't have receivers. You know, and if Traquan Smith is your number one receiver, Traquan Smith is a nice number three. You know, Deontay Harris is a nice number three. Callaway is a nice number four. Like, now we're talking about ones and twos, you know? And so I almost feel like Taysom Hill at quarterback just makes that engine a little bit more interesting than Jameis right now.
Do we know what we have in our receivers? You know, because We've never gotten to really see preseason because of COVID or whatever.
I mean,
we don't get to see practices. We've only seen them play with Drew Brees at quarterback, except for when he goes out and then and Taysom's in there, and Taysom never pulls the trigger when he's got open guys. So do we really know, you know, how do we know that a guy like Jameis, who can throw the ball down the field, how do we know that some of these guys like Deontay can't get open down the field?
I think that's a fair. I think
Marquez Callaway or Trey Kwan or whatever. I don't know if we really know what these guys can do, because I don't know whether Drew Brees or Taysom were ever really good enough to push them.
It's interesting.
And Jameis could potentially be the quarterback that might be able to get the most out of them as receivers.
I mean, I feel like you can make that case for Troutman. You can make that case for Callaway. I don't feel like Traquan, maybe Winston makes him a little bit better, but I don't think Jameis is going to transform Traquan into 80 catches, 1,100 yards, you know?
But maybe Deontay is like your Brandon Cooks, you know? Oh. Maybe he could be something like that.
Well,
he is 5'6".
Well, that's a great segue. Thomas, put
Brandon
the
Cooks, 5'10".
That's a great segue by Dave. Put the free agent wide receiver list back up. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that list, and I want to talk about they had a rumor from a very unqualified or not a good source that said the Saints were interested in trading for Brandon Cooks, which would be amazing content. And actually, the way I'm feeling about the Saints, they couldn't sign Marcus Williams to an extension. Onyemata got suspended. Michael Thomas is injured. I need to get invigorated on a ridiculous, reckless Mickey Loomis trade. I'm here for the Brandon Cooks reunion if the Saints want to do that. But this list, Andrew, this list is sadness. Like, if you told me you can have Brandon Cooks for, like, the compensatory third or a fourth, or you can have somebody on this list for nothing, I'm taking Brandon Cooks. Like, this list that Thomas Dunn created is sadness. It is fucking sadness.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say Brandon Cooks is probably getting concussed in week 3, but
well, it'd be a fun 3 weeks though.
These dudes are all done by week 3 as well, so.
Alshon Jeffries especially.
Yeah.
But when was the last time the Saints did a fun, crazy training camp trade? I mean, I know they got Parles Harrelson, but like
I was gonna say Mark Cimino.
Oh, that was a big one, because it was Mark.
Jeff Fain.
No, he was draft day. He was a draft day trade.
Oh, he
was. But Cimino was a good one, because they traded Dante Stallworth for Cimino in a second. That's exciting.
Right. Yeah, that was exciting. That was just more crazy. Like, they traded Stallworth, yeah. What? I remember just being stunned by that.
They're starting that bum from Hofstra? It's receiver now? What the fuck are they doing? Thank
yeah,
God
Harrelson
Twitter wasn't
a good
around
one.
Then.
I love that Saints Twitter had a meltdown that Harrelson was costing the Saints a future Colston. They got all mad about a seventh round pick getting shipped out.
Yeah. So here's a question.
Did Colston ever get ankle surgery in late July?
He did not.
What's...
You don't get surgeries, Dave, when you sleep in a hyperbaric chamber.
You don't.
That's what I'm saying.
Ralph Marlborough here from Saints Happy Hour. You need to join us every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. on the Spotify Green Room app. We are talking Saints or anything New Orleans sports related. On Spotify Green Room, you can interact with us by asking questions or just laugh at me mispronouncing names. Download the Spotify Green Room on your iPhone or Android device, then follow Saints Happy Hour so you can join us every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. to talk Saints or anything else NOLA sports related. So do it. Download the Spotify Green Room app and join us every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. We'll see you there. What's more selfish, Andrew? Not getting vaxxed if you're an NFL player, or not addressing your wrecked ankle until it's too late and you're going to miss potentially half the season?
Both are just medical decisions, bro. It's very personal.
Listen, I'm not here to argue vax, unvax. I'm just here to tell you, I'm here to tell the people, Dave, like the NFL is not here for the unvaccinated bullshit. Like they believe the unvaccinated players are messing with the money. The Minnesota Vikings fired a freaking coach because he wouldn't get vaccinated. And they were like, dude, if you don't get vaccinated, it means you have to coach from your office. That ain't happening. You need to get up out of here. So,
did you hear about Brian Hoyer?
I did not.
So Brian Hoyer is in a quarterback for the Patriots, and he is refusing to get vaccinated. And the Patriots have told him that he cannot be in the quarterback room if he refuses to get vaccinated. So they are not allowing him to be around any of the quarterbacks. And I mean, especially with what's going on with Delta just raging through our country right now, I think the teams, the organizations, they see what's at stake, and there's no judgment here. It's just business, right? But because the NFL has laid down this law that, hey, you're getting tested, and if you test positive, if you have enough guys that are out, like, you're going to forfeit a game. We're not doing this rescheduled dance again like we did this past year. You're just going to forfeit, and your guys all lose their game checks, yada, yada, yada. So I think what we're already seeing, I think two coaches have already been canned for refusing to get vaxxed. There's word that, like, Brian Hoyer is – I mean, look, if he's not in the quarterback room, if he's not, like – he's going to get cut. He's not going to get a fair shake at – being on the roster, on the 53-man roster, if he refuses to get a vaccination. So I just think we're starting, like, it's already gone down this path where, like, if you – Cole Beasley, like, guys like this, like, maybe if you're a superstar player, there's room for a team to say, you know what, we're going to run the risk because, like, you're such an impact on our win-loss totals that, like, we may be willing to take a little bit of a risk with you because – We might be 10-6 with you and 7-9 without you, kind of thing. I know I should have put a 17th game in there, but I think most players, like, their win loss differential with one dude, like, most players is like maybe one, right? And so I think teams are gonna be like, we're not risking forfeiting a game because of you. Sorry, yeah. And they're especially not gonna do it with coaches. But I think we're starting to see this gonna happen.
The coaches is easy because they ain't got a union. So, like, ask Sean Payton about that. Like, in 2012, Sean Payton didn't have a union, so Goodell just told him how it was going to be, and that was it. So coaches don't have a union, so they're fucked. If they don't get vaxxed and teams want to fire them, like, they're screwed. Like, they don't have a union. There's no recourse.
I think, like, taking aside, like, the you're choosing between COVID and the vaccination at this point because of how it's spreading, all that, I think pretty clearly – like, you're choosing between having a job and being unvaccinated. Like, those are your choices in the NFL, pretty much.
Here's my question, Dave. A lot of players are squawking. Cole Beasley, Hoyer, whoever. Do you think, because DeAndre Hopkins is a superstar.
A Debo.
How about I'll just call him unvaccinated corner. How about that? But Dave, my question is this:
right.
DeAndre Hopkins,
can you please, from now on, just refer to him as that? Seriously, the unvaccinated corner.
I will, for you, Andrew. I will. Although people on Twitter were getting mad at us, they're like, "All you do is tweet about vaccine." I'm like, "It's fucking news, man. NFL players, like, what do you want me to do?" But here's my question, and then we'll move on to something else, Dave. DeAndre Hopkins is the first star, superstar player to, like, He squawked about it a little, then he deleted the tweet. Dave, here's my question to you. Players may bitch, players may complain, but is any NFL player that's a star level or above gonna go unvaccinated and walk away from the NFL and be like, I'm done with the NFL because they wanted me to get vaccinated and I ain't doing it. I'm walking away from X number of millions. They'll squawk and bitch on social media, but do you think any NFL player will actually walk away from the money?
That would be crazy.
Do they have to get vaccinated? I mean, they're protected by...
I mean, I guess not. I mean,
NFLPA, so do they have to get vaccinated?
They wouldn't. It is not a requirement, no.
I don't know whether they're going to have that choice.
So,
but it makes it, their life is miserable. Their life is miserable if they don't get vaccinated. Like all
they still
the
have to go through everything that players went through last year, like all the testing, all the social distancing rules, wearing masks.
Will you have a star person? I don't know about a star person.
Well, DeAndre Hopkins went out there and said, "I'd consider." I mean, it did not seem like a fully thought out tweet, you know. But he was like, I mean, maybe Thomas can dig it up, but it was something like, "I would consider quitting the NFL if they forced me to get vaccinated."
And then he deleted it and just tweeted out
quickly,
"Freedom"
deleted
with a question.
Yeah.
They're not forcing him to get vaccinated. He doesn't have to get vaccinated.
He doesn't have
to,
no.
But they can make his life miserable, like you said, and they can make him go through way more protocols than other people have to do. And he could potentially miss games because, you know, if he tests positive at whatever certain time. But I just don't. God, I totally forgot what I was going to say.
I'll end with this. Selfishly, I want all players to get vaccinated, especially on the freaking Saints, because I do not want to do another Saturday night at 11 o'clock breaking news podcast where me and Andrew are like, oh my God, the Saints are going to play the Lions and they're not going to have any running backs. Like, I don't want to do that podcast. So selfishly, I want the Saints to be 100% vaccinated just because it makes them less likely to catch it, less likely to get severe symptoms and all that. And I don't want to talk about COVID all year. So I hope the Saints get as close to damn near 100% vaccinated as they can. So Thomas,
here's the thing though. It's July 25th. This is what I was going to say earlier that I forgot. It's July 25th. I mean, training camp is about to start, you know, within a week or whatever.
Rookies reported today, right?
So if you're not vaccinated now, you're not going to be fully vaccinated for 6 weeks at least.
That's right. Which means
if you're not vaxxed now, you're already going to have to go through whatever COVID extra protocols they're going to require you to go through. You're going to have to go through all that for the next 6 weeks through all of.
Well, I wonder, Andrew, how many players are like, I'm not getting vaccinated. And then they do a week and a half of the protocols from last year.
Yeah. And they're like, this sucks. And then they'll get vaccinated. But even then they would technically, if the NFL is following, guidelines all the guidelines that I've ever known to be true, those players would still have to wait six weeks.
No, 6 weeks,
they'd be getting their first shot, but then they wouldn't be getting their second shot for another month or so.
Yeah.
And then they would have to, then you'd have another 2 weeks for it to, you know, take full efficacy or whatever. So, I see happening, Ralph. I see people who haven't been vaxxed starting training camp being like, this sucks. Okay, fine. Give me the damn shot.
Especially when they see other players that are walking around unmasked.
Yeah.
You know,
be like, give me the damn shot. I'm not really that upset about it. I was just trying to be a tough guy. But now I realize this is just annoying and getting in the way of my own personal lifestyle. So forget it. This isn't really the hill I wanted to die on anyway. Just give me the shot.
Yeah. So, Thomas, play the breaking news siren again because we need to announce to the people big changes are coming for Saints Happy Hour podcast, especially the live stream. We're not going to tell you what's going to happen, but next week, something big, something amazing is going to happen. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to make everything better. The live stream is going to be more interactive, more fun, more incredible, more ways to give us money. It's going to be chef's kiss. So tune in next week. You'll like it. So,
my dad in the chat, first of all, two things in the chat. Big Irv made a joke that the Saints were bringing in Tommy Lee Lewis for another workout. He made my heart stop for a second there.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Tomas, Check the timestamp on this.
Yeah, shame on you, Bigger, for scaring me like that. And my dad makes a good point, Dave, which is that if they get Johnson & Johnson, then they're good to go 2 weeks later because it's only one shot. In fact, I will tell you guys this. Ralph, you know I'm plugged into the tennis tour, and most of those guys, and I think with them it's different because they're traveling to tournaments all the times. But they're mostly doing Johnson & Johnson, almost all of them. And so just because of the benefit of just doing it once and being done with it and then not having to deal with protocol and all that stuff. And so I wouldn't be surprised if athletes predominantly in the NFL also went with the Johnson & Johnson shot. To just get
one. Do we have a new sponsor or what, Andrew?
What's that?
Do we have a new sponsor or what?
Johnson & Johnson?
Yeah.
I mean, we're open to it,
the one-shot vaccine that kind of sort of works.
Maybe.
I like the one joke the George Foster, an ex-NFL player, he said, if you have taken a Toradol shot ever in your career, stop with that. I ain't getting vaccinated bullshit. That was funny. But anyway, we got to get to other Saints. They got other Saints news that happened besides Michael Thomas, besides him signing a corner. We'll kind of do it rapid fire, but I want to talk about it. Kwon Alexander, they were talking to him, bringing him back. And Dave, I think Kwon Short is the perfect fit for the Saints to sign at defensive tackle. And here's why. He checks all the Sean Payton, and that's good of Thomas. He dug up this tweet that I did. He checks all the Sean Payton boxes of loving ex-Panthers. Remember, the Saints signed Ted Ginn. They signed A.J. Klein. Remember Kurt Coleman? And I can't remember that fullback's name, but they signed him too in the offseason.
Alex Arma.
So they love ex-Panthers. Dan Morgan, ex-Panther, he's a fat guy defensive tackle. The Saints are going to sign him, right?
You're also forgetting Dan Morgan, whom they
signed. Oh, my God, I forgot Dan Morgan.
Twice. They signed him twice.
They did.
And he retired twice.
That's right.
Sure. But no, it's true. He does check all the boxes. You know, we were talking earlier about former Jets players coming to the Saints and having some success. I think we've done better with Panthers players than we have with Jets player. Well, I guess I don't know. Dan Morgan, he kind of brings the whole average down a little bit.
Kurt Coleman does too, man. Kurt Coleman was a disaster.
Panther guy was better than Goodwin and Vilma. Those guys are both Pro Bowlers.
I don't know. Goodwin.
Ted Ginn.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We got.
Shut up, Dave. They're not better than the Jets guys.
Thomas coming in aggressive.
Yeah, AJ Klein. AJ Klein
with aggression.
Yeah, AJ Klein and Ted Ginn are so much better than freaking Jonathan Vilma.
No. All right. Fair point on that.
Ted Ginn. But it's a good theory by me, right, Andrew? It's a good
Roman
theory.
Harper. We got Roman Harper from the Panthers.
Yeah, well, he came back, yeah. Yeah, but that was version 2 of Roman Harper.
That was version 3.0 of Roman Harper.
Silver hair.
Yeah.
No, he had silver hair during the Super Bowl run, Thomas.
We drafted him with silver hair.
That's right. Yeah.
Silver surfer.
Yeah, Matt wants to know if we've asked Nick Underhill if Ted Ginn has returned from injured reserve yet.
Yeah. When he retired.
That is the worst joke I've ever heard.
You know, in other Saints news too, this was fantastic. They're going to name the Superdome. It's official. It's going to be the Caesars Superdome. Not the pizza, the casino. $140 million for 20 years. That's $7 million a year for the Saints.
The rumor is that Little Caesars is going to take over naming rights for.
Oh, that would be amazing
for the Smoothie King Center.
We've all seen the tweets, Dave. We've seen that
Caesar,
joke
Little Caesar
many times.
Dave, can you get me a toga? Can you get me a Saints toga? Can you get that made from Campus Connection?
Yes, I can.
Saints football is almost here. Thank
God. Saints Happy Hour needs your support. We need money to buy the finest meats and cheeses to pay Thomas in Poland. We need money to buy show intros like Sean Payton and to have mediocre audio. Supporting Saints Happy Hour gives you the best Saints podcast every day without any stupid ads or promos like this one. And access to our private Discord channel to talk Saints 24/7 and the world famous booze bundle with 4 swag items. Annual patrons get a month for free. So go sign up at saintshappyhour.com and support the show. Do it. Go right now. Go to saintshappyhour.com.
Yeah, that's kind of timely with sports betting being legalized, right?
I mean,
well, I don't think it was an accident, Andrew.
When do you think I'll be able to walk into the Superdome and go to a Caesar's Palace kiosk and bet the Saints on the way to my seat? I think that'll happen in the next three years.
That would be pretty freaking sweet.
You don't think that's happening this season?
Well, it can't happen this season, but I think like it'll happen.
Why not?
I mean, I guess maybe I could do it on my phone, right? But I can't do it like at a kiosk.
Betting, sports betting like just went live.
Legal.
I think last week in Louisiana.
Right. Maybe. That would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
I feel like
that would be really bad for you, Ralph. Because
it would be.
Instead of just like enjoying the game, you'd be 4 beers deep, you know, and Jameis throws a pick and you're like, fuck it, bet the house on the other team. You know, and you just angrily stomp down to the kiosk and slam an $100 bill on the table.
Put it all on the Packers.
What is that soundbite even from?
It's from a coach's clinic. It's a defensive coordinator.
Are you serious?
It's
from a coach's clinic.
From what show?
But the thing is, Andrew, Texas is like, We're never legalizing weed, and we're never legalizing sports gambling. So that could save me. I still have to go to my bookie and gamble like an old person because Texas refuses to get into 2021. So that may save me on that account. Kids, a bookie, it's somebody that you have to call illicitly on a burner phone and place wagers.
You have to call from a payphone. What's that? What's a payphone?
Payphone. I gave my kid, Dave, I found an old rotary phone and I put it in front of him.
My kid.
I said, what is this and how do you use it? And Max, he sat there for like 10 minutes trying to figure out how to fucking use an old rotary phone. It was humorous.
Couldn't figure it out.
But Andrew, people are wondering
in the chat if, Taysom Hill has gotten vaxxed, and someone said, let's be real, Taysom doesn't need a shot.
Taysom doesn't need
But yeah, I wonder, is that against the, like, do Mormons have a thing against vaccinations?
I don't know. Mormons, their religion, I'll
like
say
a religious opposite, like a religious.
I don't think they have, they're not like Jehovah's Witnesses and Christian Scientists that have like, they have medical. They have hesitancy when it comes to modern medicine. I don't think Mormons are that way. I'll just say, but I could be wrong because I don't. The only thing I know about the Mormons is the Broadway show, The Book of Mormon, from the South Park guys. That's the extent of my Mormon knowledge.
So you're coming in as a scholar then.
I am, Andrew. The final thing that I want – one of the final topics I want to talk about is this, for Saints news. CeeDee Deuce, a.k.a. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, he tweeted out this week. He said – he tweeted out like a picture of a meal that he was eating, and then he said that everybody knows the East is no place for athletes. And people got really mad at him, and I found it hysterical. I was like, dude, New Orleans Twitter is like 60% Saints – like 10% politics and like 20% making fun of New Orleans East. Like, I thought him making fun of the CeeDee Deuce making fun of New Orleans East made him a true New Orleanian. Like, I wasn't offended at all, but people were. What did you think of CeeDee Deuce making fun of New Orleans East?
I don't know. I'm not touching that one, man. Not touching it.
In general.
So I don't know. He's got a point and he kind of doesn't have a point. Like, the Vietnamese community is huge out in the East. And I'm sure there are a lot of, like, great Vietnamese-owned, like, corner stores.
That make a
sick po' boy or whatever, or that put together good plates.
They're
just not as well known because nobody lives out in the East, so they're not as popular. Nobody talks about the East.
A bad rap as somebody that dated someone from the East and went to the East a lot. The East gets a bad rap, but also I feel like it's like the old Animal House thing. They can't do that to our pledges. Only we can do that to our pledges. I feel like as long as a New Orleans person is making fun of the East, it's okay. But if, like, somebody from outside New Orleans makes fun of the East, then we'll dogpile on them. That was my only
point. So, is C.D. Deuce allowed to?
Yeah.
Is he officially a New Orleanian?
I feel like.
I don't know about that.
You don't know about that? He's been here for 3 years.
He's right about athletes. Like, I don't know any athletes that live in the East.
No.
They all live, maybe in Destrehan, but
Jason Champagne said Corey Johnson used to say no New Orleans East was home of not one good restaurant. Yeah, but Corey Johnson, I like Corey. I produced his show for 2 years, but he's upper crust, man. He ain't going to the East. So here's my last Saints question, and I want both of you to answer. I'll start with you, Andrew.
Wait, but I wanted to say one other thing about CD. I do respect him a little bit because he was retweeting some plate that some guy posted. It was like blackened redfish or catfish, and it had like a crawfish cream sauce. That looks like thebomb.com. And then he also, himself, looked like he went to Manchu to get himself some chicken and fried rice. So, I got to respect that, too. So.
Oh, Dave got the full endorsement from Dave the foodie. So we know it's good.
Yeah. He knows a little bit about what he's doing.
So here's my last Saints news question, and then we'll get to questions from Discord and Twitter. I didn't ask people on Twitter for questions, so it'll be all Discord
and trivia
questions. So here's my question I want both of you to answer. The Saints, they didn't extend Marcus Williams, and will we get an extension for Lattimore, Armstead, or hell, somebody else, either this week before training camp gets rolling or in the first week or so of training camp? Are the Saints going to do another big extension? Dave, you go first.
I don't know. We all want them to, but I'm going to say no. No, nothing happens.
Andrew?
Hasn't happened yet. Why is it going to happen now?
I kind of agree with Dave, especially, well, they can't with Marcus Williams. I think with Lattimore, I wouldn't be surprised if they want to play this year out after what happened in Cleveland. If they're a little bit spooked.
You shoot your dick off.
Yeah, that. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them kind of wait on that. By the way, shout out to Jerry, who says that we had a great interview with Mike Haas.
It's spectacular.
If you haven't listened to that show yet, he's now the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, and we had a great podcast with him. He was generous enough to donate his time, and we had a chance to chat with him just about the upcoming season and what that's going to look like for him. So if you haven't listened to it yet, go find it.
And I'm just going to toot our own horn. Mike Haas is super generous with his time. He's gone on all the Saints podcasts. But I'm going to toot our horn. Ain't nobody asked him and played old Jim Mora sound bites from the 90s and asked Mike Haas to analyze it and got him to laugh so hard he nearly fell out of his chair. And Thomas edited the best. Thomas edited the best of that interview. It's like a 15-minute clip. Thomas dropped in the actual video of Mora soundbites. It's amazing. You should check that out if you don't want to check out the whole interview. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. I'm just saying. So before we get to the questions and Thomas fires up the music, Thomas, put the pie graph up. I'm very disappointed in all of you. I'm just going to say, I'm going to be like a school mom. I'm very disappointed because we are not moving on the make Ralph take a pie to the face initiative. We're not moving. We're at 284. We got to get to 350. So what'll happen is...
I really want Ralph to get cream pied in the face.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I'll get raspberry pied in the face, right? If we get to 350. We're not getting anywhere near that. So...
Well, we're supposed to have three free accounts getting handed out if you can figure that out with Patreon.
Yeah, I want to punch Patreon in the dick. All right, they are just like not being cooperative at all. I'm like, we want to make you money, Patreon, and they're like, no. But here's the thing that I want to say that I got the plans. I sent them off to Dave. I'm gonna announce it. We have a special customized German beer stein that Dave is going to make for us. All current and future annual patrons will get the beer mug for the 2021 season. It's going to be amazing. You should sign up and become an annual patron just for that. You get the beer mug and you get a month for free. So do it already. Sign your ass up.
You're
so
going to need the beer mug this year. You're going to this season more than any other.
You're going to need it.
You're going to need that beer
You're
mug.
You're going to need it. So, Thomas, fire up the music and let's
that.
Get...
I hate to hear that.
Thomas, fire up the music and let's get to the questions.
What about the trivia, Ralph?
Oh, the trivia. God damn it. I forgot the trivia. I totally...
When you write up the rundown and then you send us all the rundown, do you not have the rundown in front of you when you're doing the actual
thing? Did, but I did the trivia question, and I sent it to Thomas, but I forgot to put it in the run. I forgot to put the trivia in my own rundown because I'm an idiot.
I'm gonna give the comment award for this show to Anthony Enriquez, who commented, "An Italian making a German beer mug seems legit."
Totally.
That's it. So, now we're making wine glasses.
All right, Thomas. Champagne glass. So here's the trivia question. It's a good trivia. I'm proud of it. George Rogers is the Saints' all-time leader in rushing yards per game at 83.7. Which Saints player averaged the least amount of yards per game and still ran for 1,000 career yards as a Saint?
Andrew, already Googling.
Vaughn Dunbar.
No. You gotta think out the box. You gotta think longevity.
Look at the silhouette.
You gotta think longevity, but not a lot of yards. You gotta think outside the box.
But his yards per gain are terrible, right?
His yards per game are terrible. Aaron Stecker was really... I thought Aaron Stecker would be the guy, and then I stumbled upon this one.
Mario Bates?
No, no. You got to think...
Derek Brown?
No, no.
Dave?
You're not thinking longevity.
Longevity, okay.
You mean eating?
Dave's eating, yeah.
So Stecker was close. So I would have guessed Stecker would have had a good yards per carry.
I'm looking at the picture. The picture does look familiar. His arm is out there.
Fred McAfee, Mario, Ruben Minow. Chris Ivory, that was the guy I thought it was going to be.
Do not reveal it.
That's who I wanted it to be.
But Chris Ivory has had good yards per carry.
That's right.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm
sorry. Yards per, this is yards per game. Yeah, this is per game.
So Pierre Thomas would have been a good guess, right?
Yeah, Pierre Thomas would have been good.
Yeah. Okay.
No, because Pierre Thomas gets a lot of yards per game. No.
I mean, Pierre Thomas is like in the 40-50 range per game. This one is this guy is low per game.
Right. So you got to have the combination of like basically never getting the ball. Like, are fullbacks in the mix here?
Anybody's in the mix.
Is this a fullback?
No, it's not a fullback. You're thinking Hokie. But it's not.
Yeah.
Even the chat doesn't know. Damn.
Sproles. I'm proud of this trivia question. This is a good one.
Is it old or new Saints?
Old.
Wilson.
Chat has already crashed the Google.
Is it Wilson?
Old. I'm not going to know this then.
What year?
What's that?
All right, tell us the year.
Well, it's not a year. It's career.
All right, give us a time frame. Tell me who his coach was.
His last coach was Bum Phillips for the Saints. We need Jeopardy music for the trivia, Thomas. Although that would give us a YouTube. That would give us a YouTube strike.
Yeah, again, get a strike. Great idea.
Big Irv says Brad Muster. That was
Brad. Okay.
Let's see.
I mean, I don't even know how to look this up on Pro Football Reference.
It's not Muncy.
No, it's not Muncy.
I'm revealing it. Too late.
Too late. Thomas is showing.
All right.
Here it is.
All right.
Earl Campbell?
No, it's not Earl Campbell. You got to have 1,000 yards. When
Archie!
You see it.
Yeah. Oh, come on. That's so cheap. That is so cheap, man.
Hey, man.
I was thinking running back. God.
Fucking okie doke. That's trivia.
That's a trick question.
It's trivia, man. What do you want?
Trick question.
I try to make these trivia questions so you people can't Google it in 10 seconds. That's my goal.
I don't even know how to look this up.
Dan, Ralph, you did a good job.
I did a good job. Boom! Cripple hit him with the trivia. Thomas, play the music. Let's get to the questions. I'll start the dance early. Finger gun. That's right.
The Ralph Shuffle.
People are booing me in the chat. And Anthony was like, I thought it was 1,000 yards in the season. Womp, womp.
Even the chat got defeated.
That's right. Cripple guy wins. Eat it.
Yeah, the way you phrased that question was terrible.
It was.
Yeah.
So I freely admit that that was a fucking really hard one. But Thomas,
what's Dave doing?
I think Dave is entering Poltergeist or something.
He is. Jesus. I feel like Dave's refrigerator is a portal to another fucking dimension. Jesus.
You know where they had the upside down worlds? That
Dave,
Netflix
do you open your fridge and then go like travel back in time and change history? If you can do that, go back to 2018.
Let's see what we got in Dave's fridge. We got a Coke. We got Coke and Diet Coke. We got both.
Wow!
Mango madness. That's a little mango madness.
What is that? Chocolate milk in between the lemonade.
Anything without
mango?
Sugar in it?
We got some.
Where's the alcohol?
We got some
diabetic.
We got some water bottles. I'm surprised to see water bottles in there, Dave.
Wow. Yes, I drink water. We drink water.
We got some eggs.
Oh, you know what I got in here? I got salami. I need to have some of this salami.
Did you ever get the care package from the meats guy?
All the salamis.
You know what? I totally forgot about that. No, I did not. What's up with that? Where's my?
Yeah.
Where's
he was
my
promising
meat,
Dave a care package?
Dave needs some salami in his body.
Where's my complimentary meat?
All right, Thomas, get to the first question while we get a tour of Dave's refrigerator.
Okay, so first question comes from Christmas from Discord. With Thomas out, will our second cornerback have the skills to cover our top receiver? And is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, that's a great question. That's fantastic. Well done, Chris.
Do you have an answer?
Yeah, I mean that's the age-old thing in training camp. It's like when someone does something good, is it like does that mean it's good for the offense or really bad for the defense? Mm. The number two corner, if he shuts down the Saints' top receiver without Michael Thomas, I would say that's.
It's bad.
I don't know.
It's bad. If you're seeing Nick Underhill,
yeah, it's all bad.
If you're seeing Nick Underhill and Mike Triplett writing articles like between the first and second preseason game of like this is going to be the best Saints defense in a generation. They are locking down this offense in a way that we have not seen at a Saints camp.
That's
in a long
bad.
Time. We'd
that's
be like, bad. It's bad.
I agree.
It's just it's bad.
It's bad. It's bad. I agree, Ralph, because we want like. For the Saints to win games, Jameis is going to have to be incredible. Like, this offense is going to have to put up some points, you know?
Yeah.
And if they're getting owned in practice and the offense is looking like they're going to be scoring 18 points a game, the Saints aren't going to be winning football.
You want the thing that I've learned over time, Dave, is you want in training camp, you want it to be like a mix. You want the defense to be good. Often, you want, if your team is good, you want it to be a mix of the who wins the day. If you have a thing where one side is winning every single day, that is a huge red flag. I learned that in 2014 when they were like, Brandon Cooks is looking amazing every single day and catching a bomb every single day. We were like, Brandon Cooks is awesome. What a pick. No. The Saints 2014 defense was a tire fire. Mm. So as Dave chows down. So Thomas.
What next? I'm not eating anything.
Oh, I thought you were. You looked like you were. Maybe my stream and YouTube is behind. Go ahead, Thomas. What we got?
Okay, next question from Jason Champagne. Is it possible that NFL clubs asked draft prospects about their feelings on the vaccine? And if so, do you think it influenced their draft strategy?
Ooh, Dave, that's a good question for you. Does Raz override not getting vaccinated?
I don't know. I would say probably not, or at least the Saints definitely didn't ask, because I don't think they would have picked a Debo now knowing his feelings on
a Debo
vaccines.
Unvaccinated corner.
I don't think the super strict rules were in place prior to the draft. Is that correct, Ralph?
That is correct.
Yeah, so I think it probably didn't factor in as much as it should have in hindsight. I think if the NFL had known that they were at risk of forfeiting games, if they had known that, you know, hey, the vaccinated players aren't going to get tested at all and they don't have to wear masks, like if they had known all those things, maybe it would have made a difference.
100%.
We'll never know.
How much does being unvaccinated, how much does it drop your RAS score? Like half a point? Three quarters of a point? Like how much? Like, I'm just curious. Like,
vax bonus.
Yeah, it's like unvaccinated.
Unvaxxed penalty.
You either get a perfect score or zero. So, Thomas.
What next?
Next question from Saints Rabbit. Which is a bigger graveyard of failure? Saints linebacker draft picks or Ralph's microphone?
See, we don't have to make fun of you, Ralph. Saints Rabbit has got us covered. Our patrons
definitely
are
Ralph's,
good
for. Definitely, I mean, Ralph's headphones. We just added a new one this week.
Well,
Ralph was so excited. He's texting me like, I finally got it, Andrew. I finally got the microphone. I've been wanting it for so long. It's been my bucket list.
It is a microphone.
It's going to be amazing. True. And I'm just like, dude, here we go again.
That's
like,
the worst joke I've ever heard.
I'm like, you realize you're going to be sending it back in a couple weeks, right? He's like, no, I think this might work. And it's in the graveyard.
It's already in the graveyard. I will only say this in my defense. The Saints' graveyard of failure for linebackers, it goes back 26 years. My microphone failures only go back to 2008. So I've only been at this half as long as the Saints have been looking for a linebacker. That's my only defense, Saints Rabbit. And shame on you. Shame on you for doing that.
Well done.
All right.
What next?
Okay, last question comes from Jay Boogie, also from Discord. Can the Saints void or deduct from Michael Thomas's contract for some type of negligence? Not following up with a doctor is pretty major considering the circumstances surrounding it and the money we are paying.
I like how Thomas said negligence there. That was great.
Yeah.
Negligence.
I think this was second opinion. This was a doctor outside the building. So, yeah, I don't think he's beholden to go to a second appointment. And
here's the thing.
Yeah, so apparently, like, it was time for him to check in with the Saints and get evaluated. So, you know, he did that in June. And apparently the doctors were like, what the heck is this? Like, your ankle looks worse. than it did when you left in January. Like, you got to get surgery on this thing immediately. That's what I heard. They were just like, what the heck is going on, dude? Like, your ankle's a mess. So anyway, I don't think he – I mean, certainly there's negligence in the sense that, like, he didn't do a good job of managing his issue. But I don't think it was a situation where, like, he didn't do what the Saints told him to, or he didn't show up to a Saints thing, you know? So
here's my question, Dave. How big of a stink slash asshole is Sean Payton going to be when he gets asked about it? Like, that's the thing that's curious to me. Is Sean Payton going to be like, that's a good question, and sort of go into a response and be sort of calm? Or is he going to go full on asshole in the Sean Payton way that we know he can?
Yeah, he'll shut that shit down so fast, man.
You think he will?
He's like, he'll just go full, like, I'm not talking about injuries.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna be an asshole. I don't think he's going to want to draw more attention to it than it's already got. So,
that's no fun.
I look forward to Cat Terrell phrasing it like, Coach, you know, I'm gonna have to ask this. I'm sorry in advance. You know, she's gonna do that whole, like, disarming routine.
Does Michael Thomas's ankle have gangrene?
It might.
All right, so that's the last question. So
no Butterich?
No Butterich.
What? Man. Thomas, no Butterich?
Yeah. I skipped Butterich.
What?
Sorry, Matt.
Unbelievable.
We had quality.
He was on a run of like 78 shows in a row.
Yeah. Every round ends someday, you know?
Here's a question. One last question from the chat. For Ian Book supporters, this is from Anthony Enriquez. For Ian Book supporters, Dave, do they get called the book club, the library, or the Christmas book shelves?
No.
And elves is all caps.
Yeah.
Like definitely. That. No, definitely the book club.
The book club, yeah. I like that.
Oh, my
book
God. Club. Thomas, file this away. If the Saints are like 4-9, we need to start having time to join the book club graphic for December, which will be the saddest.
I feel like,
hey, Thomas, check the timestamp on this.
The thing I like about that is there's a reading rainbow joke to make somewhere in there. I'll workshop that one. But reading, I feel like you can work in a reading rainbow.
Reading rainbow is almost.
I can make a jingle with the reading rainbow.
Is reading rainbow?
Take a look. It's Ian Book. See, it's already coming together.
Reading rainbow is almost as old as a joke as Sophie's Choice. Jesus, we are old.
So it's right up my alley.
Yeah. So I'm
for it. He can do anything. Take a look. It's Ian Book. He's reading defense. I don't know.
Throwing rainbows.
Yeah, nice. Nice.
We started out about the Saints signing a corner, and we ended up workshopping a reading rainbow jingle to start the Ian Book era.
Dave, if you can get that to us in horrific audio, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. No. So, why Thomas, fire.
So terrible. It does not sound like that on my phone.
Nice.
Fire up the audio. Fire up the audio, Thomas. We got to get
you
out of here.
You guys should see my wife, right? My wife. You should see her mocking me.
Yeah.
She's getting
her sisters right now.
But everybody, it's been a great show. This is the show, I feel like, this week and last week kicked off. Football season is here. And starting next week, training camp is here. Or this week, training camp is here. We'll have daily practice. If you ain't signed up for this podcast yet, sign up. Nobody covers the Saints daily in training camp like we do with this freaking podcast. So sign up. So thanks everybody for joining us, especially in the chat room. You guys were amazing tonight. So for Dave, for Kevin, who's MIA, for Andrew, for Thomas running the show on point back in Poland, doing amazing work. Thank you, everybody. Remember, kids, don't shoot your dick off. And until next week, the bar is closed.
Sorry, Butterich.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.